A little School of Rock. That's what I always think of when I hear this. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. The voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, is on the line with us. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing very well this morning, and I understood you wanted some Buster Bison stories.
Happy Buster Day to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
How is Buster doing?
He seems to be doing okay and might be doing even better if, as some reports have it, the Toronto Blue Jays, Buster's parent team, if you will, may end up playing games at the ballpark in Buffalo rather than Toronto when baseball returns to action in a few weeks.
Oh, Willie, I think I said Buffalo yesterday as an alternative home for Toronto.
Yeah, you did. So I'm very intrigued. I'm intrigued, and I'm sure the people of Buffalo are.
Well, by the way, that could be a name here. We were looking for that second team to play at First Horizon Park. Maybe they could be the Bison, and Buster could come here and be the mascot if, indeed, Toronto doesn't go to Buffalo. We could do that.
Buster and Booster, that could be a great show.
Oh, we're on to something now. We are on to something. I saw something this morning about Chris Thorburn, who, of course, has hung up his skates. And it was actually him, when he was with Winnipeg, fighting Barrett Jackman the year he was here with the Preds. What do you remember about Chris Thorburn?
Let's just say pugnacious is the thing I remember about him the most. That was that marked his career, I think we can say, but a very honest player. He was the sort of guy that they always talk about shift disturbers, and I think he was very capable of that sort of play 100%.
That's one way of describing him, yes. I think that fits him well. We've eliminated, or not we, the league has eliminated Vancouver, so you can cross them off the list. What's your gut on where this is going on these two hub cities?
Well, you know, and I'm wondering, all of us have been thinking for the longest time that Vegas was going to be a sure thing. And I'm wondering about that now. I'm wondering, as a matter of fact, if they might not choose two Canadian cities. And there are two left under consideration, Edmonton and Toronto, if they might not be there because of the coronavirus incidences are so much lower in those two cities. And I know that if there are some players listening here, they probably just groaned thinking that Vegas is not under consideration. But, hey, guys, we have never heard anything official about Las Vegas now, have we? And so, you know, safety has to be of the utmost concern. And Dr. Bonnie Henry is the chief medical officer of the province of British Columbia. And she said they just couldn't agree on contingency plans if a player would have tested positive for COVID-19 during a tournament in Vancouver.
Interesting. So, yeah, that is a good point. I mean, we've kind of just assumed that Vegas was always going to be one for sure. But so are you saying that because of just the spike lately?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And I'm fearful for the NBA and MLS, too.
Right.
In Orlando, which the other day reported a 650% increase in cases.
Yeah, that is true. By the way, our state has not fared well either.
No, it has not.
We are one of the top cities in the country with spike numbers. So, what do you think? We've had a lot of time to digest this and just kind of process what this is going to be like, because you've been at this for a long time, and we're about to see something we've never seen before, right? We have never seen anything like this, where a season halted almost at its conclusion, took 4 months off, and is going to pick back up in the playoffs.
Or at least plans to.
Well,
I think
at least
we better put it that way.
Yeah, or at least that's the plan as of today. If it plays out that way, we're all trying to figure out, what is it going to look like? What's your gut feeling on what we're going to see? Because it's going to be a first if we do indeed see it.
But the most unpredictable of outcomes, I think, are almost have to be predictable here because of the long break. And I know they're going to have 3 or 4 weeks of training camp that starts July 10th. But because of this big, as we've always referred to it, the pause button was hit, then you have to regenerate things all over again. It's not going to make any difference how hot Philadelphia was coming down the stretch. None of those things, because you have to pick back up. You know, our old argument always about how is there such a thing as momentum in hockey? Well, I don't think you can pause at the top of a hill, or for that matter at the bottom of a hill, and think you're going to be able to either roll down easily or come up easily. It's going to start all over again. But I will give you one prediction right now. I'm going to predict the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first series.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that get it going?
Well,
can you imagine if that happened in Toronto?
I'm sorry?
What if that happened in Toronto? What an amazing start to the resumption of the season that would be.
Yeah, though if they pick two Canadian cities, or just even Toronto and Vegas, I'm not so sure that the general manager's push to flip-flop, to have the Eastern 12 go to the West and the Western 12 go to the East, so there is no sign of any, you know, an advantage for anybody. Though in this scenario, I can't conceive of home ice advantage.
Pete Weber is with us, voice of the Predators. And Pete, the Hall of Fame made their selections this week. And it's interesting. There are a couple of guys. I think of Marian Hossa and I think of Jerome Iginla. Their careers basically got started as the Predators got started as a franchise. So we sort of saw their entire arc of their career. And both of them obviously had huge moments against Nashville. But it was great to kind of think about that as they got the induction.
Two high-class individuals. I'm never going to forget the two Thomas Vokoun, Jerome Iginla battles, one here, one in Calgary. And then with Marian Hossa, and it's unfortunate my memory is going to be this, but it would be the same thing if Don Denkinger were put in the Baseball Hall of Fame for me, to think that it was Marian Hossa who would, as it turned out in 2010, go to his third straight Stanley Cup final with his third different team, but he got the winning goal in Game 5 against Nashville at the United Center after I think there's a very good case that could have been made where he should have been ejected for his hit on Dan Hamhuis.
No question. That is still the most gut-wrenching loss, I think, in Predators history. And it's got some competition now because there's more history to the team now, but certainly at the time it was. But so were you surprised that Hossa got in? I mean, he is obviously a great player, but he's well-traveled. He wasn't always maybe the guy. I mean, if you take the three cup teams he played with Chicago, he wouldn't be the first guy that you would list among the great players there. But is he still a Hall of Famer in your mind?
He's still a Hall of Famer. And a lot of that has to do, I think, with the great coaching he had in junior, Brent Peterson.
Mr. Brent Peterson.
No, I think he's a Hall of Famer, absolutely. I was more than a little bit disturbed, though, that I didn't see Alexander Mogilny get elected yesterday. And there's no transparency in these proceedings. You have to get 14 votes for the 18 Hall of Fame selectors. And we don't know if he got 13, if he got 6, if he got none. But I still think that he is a Hall of Fame player. I mean, the two guys that came over to the league after he arrived, that were his line mates on the junior team out of the Soviet Union, Sergei Fedorov and Pavel Bure, are already in the Hall of Fame, and I really think that he was as spectacular as they were.
You know, Pete, we got into this discussion a little bit yesterday with Elliot Friedman, that there's two things that always are at play when you're trying to elect Hall of Famers. Number one, how low do you want to set the bar? Or how high do you want to set the bar? And the other part is, especially in terms of football and hockey, with a defenseman like Kevin Lowe, like for one thing, you know, you have Mogilny, you can lay out the goals, and he was a goal scorer, and then you can decide whether that's Hall of Fame worthy. That's a little easier. But a guy like Kevin Lowe, who was more of a defenseman, and there weren't the analytics back then. He certainly won a lot, But that's got to be a tough thing sometimes for Hall of Fame voters to try to quantify, particularly a defenseman, how great they were.
Particularly a guy like Kevin, who was really a defensive defenseman. That is very difficult to evaluate. I have no problem with him making the Hall of Fame. As a matter of fact, I was rather surprised to see how long it has taken someone for him who built a very impressive resume, 6 Stanley Cups, 5 at Edmonton, 1 with the New York Rangers, and the only one the Rangers have won now in the last 80 years, and he played a large role with them, along with Sergei Zubov. And some guy named Leach, he's pretty good too. But I'm just thinking that is a very hard position to evaluate, much like the difficulties, and Willie, this, let's bring it to the present day. How difficult is it to truly evaluate defensemen for the Norris Trophy?
Yeah, at least there's more tools now than there were. But yeah, I've always thought that, as you said, the defensive defenseman or the appreciation for how well a guy defends is always much more subjective, almost like it is in baseball too. I mean, you can look at range, your eyeballs can tell you how good of a defensive player it is, but there's not a lot of stats that go with it sometimes.
Correct. The evaluation.
So what about the front office guys? What about the front office guys that got in? Yeah, Ken Holland and Doug Wilson.
Well, Doug got in as a player. So that's a little bit different there. He's in the management right now. Ken Holland, I think Predators fans might be happy to know that the first real pair of pro-level goalie pads that was used by a young guy in the Binghamton, New York area named Mike Dunham were contributed to him by Ken Holland, who was golfing at Mike Dunham's father's golf course there in Endicott, New York. So that was a little bit of a touch there to the Nashville Predators and their future. But Ken Holland, he might be the most famous Electrolux salesman of all time. His mother sort of got him a job with Electrolux, and then 2 days later he got a call from Jimmy DeVellano in Detroit wondering if he'd be interested in becoming an area scout for the Red Wings, and then he took off from there.
Pete, I'm not sure off the top of my head who becomes eligible next year, but is McGillney in your mind the best player? Is McGillney in your mind the best player that's not in at this point, or are there others that you've always felt like should be in that continue to get overlooked?
In my mind, and it's going to sound like my Western New York bias, but and I know Buster would be with me here on this, but Alex McGillney and Pierre Turgeon. Turgeon, higher point total than anybody who is not in the Hall of Fame right now. And McGillney, boy, he's been eligible since 2009. Yeah, you can always look at those, but then recent times we also had Dave Andrejczyk, who was, Mr. Power Play Goal Specialist and hung in there long enough to be on the Cup team with the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2004. So he finally got his way in there. It's unfortunate you have to wait so long, but I think the most unfortunate thing is, I love the Hockey Hall of Fame. There is no question. I go there whenever I get the chance. But the transparency, I think, needs to be improved greatly.
Why do you think we keep talking about McGillney, and why does he keep getting overlooked, in your opinion?
I wish I could come up with a good reason for that, Darren. I have no idea. And here was a guy, you want to talk about somebody risking his life and the safety of his family, coming over as he did, a defector from the Soviet Red Army. I mean, they told any Soviet national living wherever in the world, if they were to see Alex McGillney after he defected in 1989, to shoot him on sight. And then there was a Soviet national that somehow or another found his way to the Sabres dressing room at the Odd and was trying to extort $250,000 from him to keep his family safe back home in the Soviet Union. He went through an awful lot. And two of my longtime hockey friends, Don Luce and Jerry Meehan, went through a lot to spirit him away from Europe during the World Championships.
Wow. Willie, did you have anything else?
Well, I was just, Pete, I think you were about to say who comes eligible next year. I think people would be curious as to, because that's always a factor, who goes on the ballot.
Yep, that's right. And next year, there's a couple of twins that Brian Burke went through multiple trades to make sure he could draft them back-to-back, the Sedin twins. They will come up for election next year. And I've discussed with some friends over the last few days, wouldn't it be something if they decided to put Henrik in separate from Daniel?
Or they may not get in at all. I've had that conversation in the past, and it's pretty interesting. There's some pretty strong feelings one way or the other how people feel about them getting in.
They revolutionized the way the game was played out there, and their impact on hockey in Vancouver, who knows, maybe you could even say trickle-down effect will help with launching the new franchise in Seattle.
Have you been able to see what your seat will look like at Climate Pledge Arena? If you're going to be high up, not high up, do you know?
I have not seen a virtual tour yet that will show me that, but anything will be better than Edmonton.
It cannot be further out than Edmonton. I'm pretty convinced of that.
I'm convinced of that as well. And I loved when Joe Bowen, my buddy with the Maple Leafs, took a picture 2 years ago and put it on Twitter saying, "Can you believe this is a building in Canada? That's my view. Come on."
Pete, always good stuff. You and Claudia continue to be safe, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You guys, too. Let's keep it going, and it's only hope. That's what we're trying to sell, but hope that sports can be back at some point soon. And the other addendum to that is, and safely so.
Yep, amen to that. Pete Weber, Hall of Fame voice, Nashville Predators. Always good to chat with him. That'll do it for hour number two. When we come back, you just made the list to start things off. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.